All right, we're going to open the meeting at this time. The work session for January 12th is now in session. We'll do roll call as traditionally for a work session. Kim, you'll handle that.
Yep.
The purpose of this work session is to discuss the undergrounding of power poles along 42nd Avenue. I believe Mark is here to talk us through that. Welcome, Mark.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My intent is this is going to be really quick. There's a lot we don't know, and so that's all I'm laying out. And that's basically phase one. So in the long-term plan in 2027, there's $1 million allocated to underground utility poles from Adair Avenue to roughly Florida Avenue, just kind of this general area here. It really depends on the termination's weird when you underground stuff. So the goal is roughly this area is where the underground would end, and they go back to aerial, as you see. Here's a street view. As you can see, all the power poles are on the south side of Adair, or up south side of 42nd. There's street lights on them. So basically all of that infrastructure would have to get undergrounded, probably along that same south side. The challenge we have is this yellow line is roughly the property limits. It's a really tight corridor all the way through there. And there's a lot of fiber optic cable already under the ground in this space. So really what phase one is, it says, how much space do we need to underground this stuff? They're going to coordinate with Excel to figure out what the cost would be, as well as Comcast and CenturyLink, because they're also aerial there as well. We will then come back to you after phase one and say, here's what it looks like in terms of potential easements we'll need, in terms of cost estimates, timelines, coordination. We'll then have a conversation of basically, yep, let's keep walking down this path, or nope, this isn't feasible as we see it. Maybe we scale it back. Maybe we don't do it. But we'll have information to make an informed decision at that time. So really all phase one is to gather that stuff to be able to have a conversation about all these potential issues along the corridor. So at next week's council meeting, the proposal in front of you with WSB for phase one and phase two. So phase one is this possible? And phase two assumes it's possible and we'll start moving down the path towards construction. But we're going to check in with you between phase one and phase two and make that decision. So while the contract covers both phase one and phase two, there's a hard point at the end of phase one of go, no go. That's pretty much it.
Last time we've talked to Hennepin County about any rework.
For like reconstruction on here?
Yeah.
So we actually talked with them with regards to the Joint Water Commission replacing the water main from Adair to roughly the same limits. The channel, there's a couple things have come up with that. The first one is they talk turn lanes and looking at a 3-lane section potentially, and kind of the full, not just a street, but a full project, which is going to be ridiculously expensive. We really don't have money lined up for that right now in terms of that full scope. As it stands currently with the Joint Water Commission project and our sanitary sewer replacement, we're literally just going to drag trench boxes through that corridor to get that work done in as tight a space as possible to minimize costs. So the plan right now is basically we'll get a permit to do the work as compared to like a joint project with the county, because even if it was a joint project, they probably want at least 20% from us.
Okay. So just on that same realm, are you talking about 20% of the whole street project?
That's an off the cuff. When you work with Hennepin County, it's usually they want you to the city to bring 20% to the table.
Wow.
Of the street, correct, which is they don't even contribute towards, you know, our water or sewer infrastructure below.
Okay. Wow. All right. Any other questions?
Yeah, Mark, have you talked to Robbinsdale at all?
So, not about this. We're trying to do a joint project with Robbinsdale on utility reconstruction on 36th Avenue with a mini roundabout at Regent. And they have not been the most responsive. So we're trying to not spread our eggs too far. We'll check in with them later. But at this point, we're still in what's feasible for us. So we're starting there. The other quasi concern I have is if we were to get funding from the county, that number is capped. So if Robbinsdale joins us, then they would benefit from some of that money as well. So our share could kind of maybe go up, basically.
Interesting.
We'll know them again. We'll know more of that after the feasibility report.
Okay. Other questions? All right. Sounds good.
Perfect.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
All right. Next item on the agenda is to discuss the Crystal Cove Aquatic Center, and John is here to discuss that with us. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. I thought I had picked up our slides. All right. We're here again to talk about the Crystal Cove Aquatic Center, and we've been talking about this for a little over a year. And early discussions were a lot on use and who's using it, things like that. Earlier last year, we talked a little bit more about, well, what does the public think? So we undertook a phone survey of around 400 Crystal residents to get the kind of the feel for what the residents thought. That did not get at what other potential uses could be out there. So the next step then was to kind of do some public engagement. And that's actually meeting face-to-face with people and talking to them about the pool and getting their input and providing some place for people to provide additional comments online. So what you have on the screen there is a number of the meetings that have been held since our last meeting on this topic. In August, we went out to the pool while it was still open, talked to people that were out at the pool to kind of get their thoughts. We spent a couple times, we went out to the farmer's market to get input from people that are out there. We also went to Cedarwood Apartments and Kentucky Lane Apartments to talk to residents there to get their thoughts on the pool. Kentucky Lane, we actually had an officer with us that spoke Spanish to help us with some of the communication things there. We also had some focus groups. So we sat down with the folks that use the pool regularly. We have a lot of adventure clubs that use the pool. We have a swim team that uses the pool, and just to kind of find out what their thoughts were, if it wasn't a pool, what were their other options, things like that. We also had a focus group with pickleball players at the community center, trying to get a little different age demographic in our focus groups. So we talked to a group from there. We also had a focus group with Little League Baseball Board. To kind of get thoughts from a different perspective. So we tried to reach out people that use the pool, people that not necessarily use the pool, just to kind of find out what their thoughts were. So we had about 365 survey results. It was pretty much 50-50 online and paper surveys. So we did a little bit of both. That summarizes the pop-up events. Approximately 95% of the inputs said that the public was in favor of repairing the pool or doing something to keep the pool there. And then we had a follow-up question on what, clearly we're not going to put something back in that's exactly like what's there today. We'll have an opportunity to do some things. So some of the things that came out of that, which, you know, high dive was mentioned. I'm not sure how realistic that is, lazy river as well. But one of the things we did hear a lot is that our pool, we have a great zero depth pool. People love that. But there's kind of a gap, a shallower area, like 4 feet-ish, that kids don't necessarily have to take a swim test to be able to show that they know how to swim because the water would not necessarily be over their head. So we heard that a lot. So any improvements we would make if we go this route would include something in that regard. We also asked for those people who thought that we should do something else, what would that something else be? We kind of left it open. We tried not to direct people towards anything. Of the 20 responses, the top one was to replace it with another pool facility, like primarily indoor pool, which you know, some of these things are budgetarily might be out of our scope, other athletic sport court facility or green space and trails. So these are the results of this in-person survey. So part of the talk at the last meeting was doing a master plan for the park. But when you do that, the first step is to figure out what facilities go in that park. And then you can figure out how that all fits together. So we're kind of at the point now where we're looking at, you know, should we include the Crystal Cove Aquatic Center in those plans, or is there a different route that the council would like to go? So with that, I'll leave it open to discussion. We have our Park and Rec Commission here as well.
All right, looking for comments. Anyway, go ahead.
I was encouraged by the first survey that seemed like we had a lot of people that were really interested in keeping the pool. And then when I saw this survey at the Parks and Rec meetings, I was pretty much blown away because like 95% is pretty huge. Like what jumped to mind was like, you probably couldn't survey 95% of people that if they like vanilla ice cream, they probably wouldn't get that high. So for me, it was pretty, it's a no brainer to fix the pool. Maybe, you know, and also we could maybe put a middle height pool of some kind, but maybe that's an area there, but it seemed like keeping the pool or fixing it is a no-brainer to me based on just the 95% and the results and also from the Parks and Rec Commission as well. A lot of folks on there are pretty passionate about it and want to see it continue. So that's my thoughts on it.
All right, anyone else? Go ahead, Tony.
Just based on the conversations during our last meeting, I think the position of the commission has changed since our last resolution, asking to move forward with the pool repairs.
You're in support of the pool repairs?
Yep.
Okay. John, go ahead.
I was at that meeting, and basically what came off the meeting was that it's an asset to the city, something that we should try to continue and improve. And I think that, you know, now's an opportunity for us to make those changes. We want to see go forward. And it also the park board voted unanimously to support the pool. So that was always a major plus. Thank you.
Nancy.
Since we have some new members on, are you all in United to support, or do you guys have any thoughts? Is it Taji?
Yeah.
And Jen, you are new since the last meeting I saw, correct? Or were you at that last one? I think you might have been in October.
I was on virtual.
You were on virtual, that's right. So just wanted to get your feedback as you're newer to the rec and commission.
Still just trying to get that feeling of what the pool is, what's going on with it. So I guess I like the idea of the pool, just is it something that we can work with? I wasn't
part of that. I think for me, I appreciated that we did another round of engaging with the community. I think there was some, I don't think the commission was unanimous in like continuing to get feedback. I think after the initial survey, the majority thought, hey, let's just take it, what did it like, let's just repair the pool. I was actually in favor of continuing to do some more community engagement. So I'm glad we did that. I think the results we got were conclusive. I'm in favor. As Tony mentioned, I think the board is unanimous and very grateful.
And just my thoughts, I know early on last year, I think I was speaking out in saying that I felt like the pool was underserving because of the short amount of time that it's open with the competition that we have around us. And other areas. I mean, there's weather, there's staff, there's, you know, all kinds of variables. And so my thought was challenging all of us to say, what can we do to do things differently if we're going to spend this much money? And one of the things I've been noodling too is when I saw the $4,600,000 price tag between now and 2030 total expenses, as I thought, instead of being competitive, what if we were complementary? What if there are things that we can do different with this pool, our facility, something that might be open all year round? So during winter, we have a place for people to go, or in inclement weather that there's another option. So that's where my head is thinking right now, is how can we serve more people throughout the year in that space? That's where I'm at.
Yeah, go ahead, Jesse.
Well, I think one of the ways that the Crystal Pool can be complementary in that sense is offering that water experience at a lower cost. The renovations that neighboring cities have done have elevated their prices. Mm-hmm. And I think by keeping the scope of our pool narrow, offering those core experiences and maybe not doing something as expansive as a lazy river provides us an opportunity to offer that experience at a lower cost. And that definitely benefits an important group of our citizens and also the neighboring citizens.
Yeah, good point. Thanks, Jesse.
Anyone else?
Hey, Dave. We were just talking about the park board's recommendation about regarding the pool. Since you got here, I was wondering if you had any insight on what your personal perspective is. If you would mind sharing that with us.
No different than what the commission as a whole is. I agree with it.
And one last question for Dave. Dave, were you on the council when the pool was first constructed?
Yes. It was around 2005, I think.
Oh.
Yes, I remember it well. We had an election to put that pool on the board.
Yeah, it was on the ballot.
By chance, remember the percentage of people that supported that initiative?
60. So the thing that struck me on the presentation, John, was the online was 50-50. And 95% for the people that we interviewed were a lot of different people who were users. Mm-hmm. So there was a little bit of a skew. I'm guessing there weren't a ton of pickleball people that were interviewed or those other groups that had nothing to do with it. How did those numbers compare to the number of people that were interviewed in the people who actually used the pool?
Yeah, so we did a focus group with pickleball group, and that they didn't necessarily do the survey. But we did have, so what we had though for like three months, I think, we had a QR code to the survey in the community center. So anyone using the community center.
So they weren't even in the 95, but the online was 50-50.
Well, yeah. So when we were at, like, say, the farmer's market and people were asking questions, we said, if you'd like, you can fill out a paper survey or scan the QR code and do it online. So a lot of people prefer doing the online version.
She's online. Okay. Therese?
Hi. Thanks for listening or letting me talk
your
here.
Your volume is way low. We'll try to figure out if it's our side or your side.
I appreciate that, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for letting me talk. I'm actually in a car, and I'm not sure how long this connection will last, but I think it's an important resource for our community, and I think the pool should be maintained, and we need to fix it. It serves so many underserved people, and those people are not being met any other way, and I just think it's important. So those are my thoughts. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.